Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the LTIMindtree Quarter 4 and FY23 Earnings Conference Call. Please note that this conference call is being recorded. Today on the call, we have with us Mr. Debashish Chatterjee, Chief Executive Officer and Managing Director, Mr. Sudhir Chaturvedi, President Markets, Mr. Nachiket Deshpande, Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Vinit Teredesai, Chief Financial Officer. Let me outline the agenda for today's call. We will begin with a brief overview of the company's Quarter 4 and Fiscal 23 performance, after which we will open the floor for Q&A. During the call, we could make forward-looking statements. These statements consider the environment we see today and carry risk and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to differ materially from those expressed in today's call. We do not undertake to update any forward-looking statement made on the call. I'll now turn the call over to DC for his opening remarks. Over to you, DC.
Thank you, Nitin. Good evening and good morning to everyone on the call. Thank you for joining us today. Before I start, I would like to take a moment to appreciate our 85,000 highly dedicated professionals spread across 30 plus countries. Their vision, technical expertise, and superior execution capabilities continue to help clients reimagine outcomes, drive innovation, and realize cost efficiencies in a complex and convergent digital landscape. Their commitment to excellence ensures we take our clients to the future faster together. I'm happy to share that the merger between erstwhile LTI and erstwhile Mindtree was completed in a record time of less than 7 months. We have started operating under a unified system and processes since 1st of April 2023. Establishing the base for realizing the envisioned synergies. It is noteworthy to mention that our robust performance is on the back of significant global uncertainties, macroeconomic challenges, and our merger integration. We reported a strong FY23 with a year-over-year revenue growth of 19.9% in constant currency and 17.2% in dollar terms. The growth was broad-based, driven by solid performance across all our verticals and geographies. The industry-leading performance was underpinned by the strength in our largest vertical, BFSI, which grew at 23% year-over-year in dollar terms in FY23, even amidst a challenging macro environment. We are also pleased to share that high-tech, media and entertainment, our second largest vertical, hit $1 billion in revenues for FY23, growing 14.5%. Geographically, North America continues to be our strongest market, registering a year-on-year growth of 21.5% in FY23. Our business in this significant region has attained a substantial scale, accruing an annual revenue of $3 billion. For the full year, Europe grew at 14.1% year-over-year in constant currency, but due to the foreign exchange impact, reported growth in this geography was 3.9% in dollar terms. Speaking about Q4, our revenues came in at a healthy $1.06 billion, up 13.5% year-over-year in constant currency, and 11.9% in reported dollar terms. Our EBIT margins for Q4 came in at 16.4%, up 250 basis points quarter on quarter, in line with the trajectory that we had communicated during our Q3 results. We added 31 new clients during Q4, and notably increased our count of $50 million plus customers by 2 to 13. Our order inflow for the quarter came in at $1.35 billion, helping us close the full year order inflow at $4.87 billion. Our expanded and diversified capabilities combined with enhanced scale are creating significant cross-sell and upsell opportunities, cementing our partnership status as an industry leader with our existing clients. We are now a formidable contender for strategic partnerships with new clients through multi-year and multi-tower deals. While we do observe a cautious approach towards technology spending in general, owing to macro uncertainties, clients' focus on leveraging technology for enhanced competitiveness remains intact. These client goals hold a significant long-term upside for our full-stack end-to-end capabilities. We are already seeing a growing trend of deals where savings from efficiencies are being used to fund in-flight transformation projects. Let me give you an example. onSemi, a global leader in intelligent power and image sensing technologies, has chosen LTI Mindtree as a strategic service provider for developing its next-generation enterprise IT support platform. This multi-year deal will involve LTI Mindtree collaborating with onSemi's IT team to drive innovation and increase efficiency. The IT transformation is part of onSemi's broader strategy to streamline operations and invest in growth areas such as electric vehicles, ADAS, alternative energy, and industrial automation. With our robust next-generation delivery capabilities and continued focus on innovation and agility, we are confident that we will capitalize on several such exciting opportunities that FY24 will present. For instance, one next-generation capability where we have made significant investment and progress is generative AI. We firmly believe that generative AI will create the next phase of the autonomous enterprise. We have launched our Gen AI platform, which will allow enterprises to accelerate their concept to value journey with a focus on ethical use of generative AI, sustainability, and data privacy. Several marquee customers include a top global bank, a multinational CPG leader, and a leading insurance brokerage are already leveraging it for their unique needs. With that, let me now turn on to our businesses. Our banking, financial services, and insurance business grew 20.1% year over year in Q4. The banking industry is currently focused on cost takeout programs with an emphasis on cash conservation. Some clients have temporary hiring freezes in place. In insurance, the core modernization and consolidation programs that we are currently part of give us growth visibility. Our BFSI deal pipeline is promising with several large deals in the final stages. In Q4, our high-tech media and entertainment business grew 2.8% year over year. The high-tech industry is focusing on customer support, subscription management, and product engineering. While the decision-making timelines remain extended, vendor consolidation has been driving up deal sizes. We are favorably positioned here, evident from our success with our new logo, onSemi. Our manufacturing and resources business grew 12.4% year over year in Q4. In the automotive space, we look forward to gaining from vendor consolidation and expanding with our unique industry solutions. In the energy industry, stable commodity prices are incentivizing clients to persist with investments towards digital transformation. We are seeing this trend across the energy value chain of upstream, midstream, and downstream, with focus on improving operational efficiency, health and safety, and lowering carbon footprint. For Q4, our retail, CPG, travel, transportation, and hospitality business grew 9.5% year over year. Higher interest rates and sticky inflation has led to reduced consumer confidence and spending. This has an impact on the IT spend in retail and CPG. We are helping clients achieve operational resilience through automation and OPEX reduction. Our focus on omnichannel and commerce capabilities continues to give us unique opportunities in the current business environment. In the travel, transportation, and hospitality business, airlines, hotel, and car rental companies continue to see strong business activity. Our health, life sciences, and public services business grew 6.8% year-over-year in Q4. In healthcare, we will maintain our emphasis on value-based care and expand our coverage across product engineering and testing. In the life sciences industry, the focus is on aggressively cross-selling and upselling our ERP, CRM, and digital engineering services. In terms of geographies, America contributed 71.9%, Europe contributed 15.4%, and our rest of the world contributed 12.7% of our revenues for the quarter. There has been no significant cancellations or deferment of projects from any of our clients, indicating the strength of our client relationships and our value proposition. There is also considerable activity in SAP digital and data services, especially the move to the cloud, which presents exciting opportunities for the company to expand. As a people-powered organization, we value our employees and their contributions to our success. We remain grateful to our dedicated team of skilled professionals who have ensured client satisfaction and flawless delivery, even in the midst of a large merger and integration. Our attrition continues to trend lower, largely in line with what the industry is also experiencing. Our quarterly annualized attrition stood at 13.7%, a significant improvement of 440 basis points over the previous quarter, bringing our LTM attrition down to 20.2%. Our return to office program is progressing well. Opening new satellite offices has proven an effective talent strategy, and we remain committed to regularly reviewing and refining our approach. We have been recognized as one of the best organizations for women in 2023 by the Economic Times. I'm also proud to inform that we have been recognized at the Diversity Awards 2023 for the top 5 most innovative practices in the women L&D programs and top 20 most innovative practices in the women returning programs categories. These recognitions validate our tireless efforts in building a truly inclusive environment where every individual feels valued, respected, and empowered, regardless of gender and other differences. With this, I will now turn over the call to Vinit for the financial highlights.
Thank you, DC. Good evening and good morning to everyone on the call. It is great to be with all of you again for our quarterly and annual earnings. We ended the fiscal year 2023 on a strong note. The revenue stood at $4.1 billion, registering a growth of 17.2% in dollar terms. The corresponding constant currency growth was 19.9%. EBIT margin was 16.2% compared to 17.8% in FY22. PAT margin was at 13.3% compared to 15.1% in FY22. The absolute PAT was 4,410 crores. EPS for the full year was 149 rupees 10 paisa, an increase of 11.5% over FY22. The effective tax rate for the full year was 23.8%. Let me now take you through the financial highlights for Q4 FY23. Our revenue stood at 1.06 billion. Up 11.9% on year-on-year basis. The corresponding constant currency growth was 13.5%. The Q-on-Q growth was 1% in dollar terms and 0.7% in constant currency terms. EBIT margins came in at 16.4% compared to 13.9% in the previous quarter. We had indicated last quarter that our margins would expand by 200 to 250 basis points, and we are pleased to deliver at the higher end of that range. The following three factors equally contributed to the sequential improvement in margins. Absence of furloughs and higher working days in Q4, 80 bps. Lower integration cost compared to Q3, 80 bps. and operational efficiency and productivity improvement 90 basis points. Net forex loss for the quarter was $6.4 million compared to a gain of $5.9 million in the previous quarter. PAT margin was for the quarter was 12.8% compared to 11.6% in the previous quarter. The effective tax rate for the quarter was 22.9% compared to 23.6% in Q3 FY23. Basic EPS was 37 rupees 70 paise for the quarter compared to 33 rupees 80 paise in Q3 FY23. In Q4, the bill DSO stood at 60 days compared to 61 days in the previous quarter. The DSO including unbilled revenue was at 91 days compared to 90 days in the previous quarter. For the quarter, the operating cash flow to PAT substantially increased to 88.5% versus 65.8% in the previous quarter. Our robust cash management led to cash and investment balance of $1.02 billion or 8,355 crores compared to 8,086 crores in Q3 FY23. This increase in ending cash balance is post-payment of 591 crores as interim dividend during Q4. Return on equity for the quarter was 28.6% versus 30.3% in Q3. Our utilization, excluding trainees, in the quarter was 81.7% compared to 82.9% in the previous quarter. As of March 31st, 2023, our cash flow hedges stood at 3,840 million. Hedges on the balance sheet were $441 million. The board of directors has recommended a final dividend of 40 rupees per share, subject to shareholders' approval, taking our overall dividend for the full financial year to 60 rupees per share. As DC mentioned earlier, effective 1st April, we are operating under one unified systems and policies. In line with this, we are also refreshing and publishing our ESG goals as LTI Mindtree. The same is detailed in our investor deck. Let me share some key goals that we have set for ourselves. The top one on sustainability includes replacing 85% of current energy usage with renewable energy by 2030, 100% waste recycling, and becoming water positive by 2030. We are pleased to share that in Q4, our Bengaluru and Chennai facilities were awarded the CII National Award on Efficient Energy Usage. These awards validate our commitment to the goals we have pledged on ESG front. I now hand it back to DC for the business outlook.
Thank you, Vinit. Looking ahead, we remain optimistic about our prospects. While Q1 FY24 performance may see some impact of continued slow client decision-making, our strong value proposition, robust order book, and steady pipeline buildup gives us confidence that we shall still be able to deliver industry-leading double-digit revenue growth for FY24. One of the areas that we are particularly excited about is the cross-sell and upsell opportunities in existing accounts and our concentrated mining efforts on our Focus 100 accounts. By leveraging our expertise and scale across a range of industries and technologies, we have been able to create positive momentum and drive growth across our client base. In addition, our unified transformation solution is helping customers in their transformation journeys across value chains, stacks, and ecosystems. This is particularly important as businesses continue to face increasing pressure to do more with less. With our deep expertise, commitment to innovation and collaboration, and focus on delivering value to our clients, we are confident that we will continue to drive growth and success in the future. Let me now open this call to questions.
Thank you, DC. A few points while we wait for the question queue to assemble. All participants will be in listen-only mode during the Q&A. If you would like to ask a question, please use the raise hand option on your screen. You will then be prompted to unmute your line and ask the question. Request you to please state your organization's name before asking your question. I request that you keep your question to one and a follow-up, as that will allow us to take more participants for Q&A. The first question is from the line of Sandeep Shah.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand, entering into FY 2024, is there any large client-specific issue which you foresee within your top 20 clients? And can you explain the same with the decline in this quarter within top 5 clients and top 11 to 20 clients? What has led to this as a whole? And also outlook for the high-tech entering into FY24 with some of your large clients are announcing layoffs at a regular interval. So will it be a spoil sport in terms of the growth rates for FY24 in terms of high-tech for you versus company average as a whole? And second, in terms of the margin outlook, how do we see from a Q4 levels how the margin will shape up in the first half as well as second half of the financial year?
So you asked many questions, Sandeep. Let me just go one by one. Your first question was any specific issues with any clients in the top 20. I don't think there is any specific issue with any of the clients. I think things are, in fact, if you look at the overall revenues of the clients from FY22 to FY23, you will see that the revenues have grown, which means our efforts of mining is working very well with those clients. In terms of, what was your next question?
Yeah, in terms of, is there no large client-specific issues, then are you also witnessing the same within the high-tech vertical as a whole? Because one of your large client has been announcing layoff at a regular intervals.
In fact, we, as of now, again, if you look at our overall high-tech portfolio, there is, again, I will say the same thing. There is nothing which is specifically bothering us. In fact, for some of our clients, there could be opportunities for us. But only one thing I can say is that, some of the decision-making in terms of start of the project, they have been a little delayed. So we are actually, we have won opportunities where we need to just, get them started. So overall, again, I don't think there is any specific concern or specific client-specific concern in terms of, our high-tech portfolio. And in terms of margin, let me ask, we need to answer that.
So Sandeep, as we have mentioned this in the past, our aspiration is basically to return to the same margin levels as what both the independent companies were operating in the before the prior to merger. That is that in the 17% to 18% range. Though we don't want to call it out, but I'm given that this mathematics is publicly available, I'm just making it very. That's the aspiration at which we want to operate. We'll have probably a little bit of a slow start, and we'll catch up during the year and get to that 17% to 18% range.
Okay, thanks. And last follow-up. DC, your comment about this year's growth rate being double digit. So the ask rate, if I'm not wrong, on a constant currency for the next four quarters is 2.7%, with 1Q growth is likely to be tapered. So there would be a heavy lifting required from 2Q to 4Q. What gives you confidence regarding the same?
Well, I think, if I look at the deal activity, which is happening currently, that gives us the confidence. And I will let Sudhir also chime in. But overall, our pipeline is very strong. Our order book is very strong. And the couple of things that I called out in my opening remarks is, for example, we have good opportunities in BFSI, but a couple of clients have kind of gone through some freeze. And we are hoping that by end of Q1, those freezes will be, they will be kind of opened up. So we should be able to ramp up. But overall, our deal activity is very, very strong. Sudhir, do you want to comment?
Yeah, absolutely. So DC, as you said, the order intake is up, between quarters by 21% to 1.35 billion in Q2. The large deal pipeline, you will remember that we shared a number of $3.2 billion during our investor day. That's up to $3.6 billion now. So the combination of order intake and continuing activity on the large deals is what gives us confidence.
Okay. Thanks.
The next question is from the line of Mohit Jain. Mohit, you can please go ahead.
Yes. So first was related to pricing for the quarter, specifically Q4. Now, headcount is slightly down, utilization lower, revenues up. So how should we read this disconnect? Is there a different base or some other revenue that you've got during the quarter which is pulling this number up? And then I'll have a follow-up.
See, if you see, Mohit, the main reason for the headcount difference is the attrition, as you would see, has significantly dropped in Q4. And because of that, our net headcount, and by the same time as we were combining both the organizations, we had reduced our lateral intake in Q3 and Q4 as the bench from the organization was coming together and we were getting a better idea about the skill distribution of that bench. That's kind of resulted into reduced headcount.
But is there a volume drop during the quarter? Or pricing is stable and there's a volume increase of 0.7%?
Pricing is pretty much stable. Just remember, as DC has mentioned, that in his opening remarks, that the nature of the deals and the revenue profile is changing from cost from the transformation to the cost takeouts. To that extent, that's the change that is coming in. But otherwise, the pricing that we are getting is pretty much stable.
Okay, and the follow-up is on vertical. Like, I was really scared on BFSI, but you did well. And I thought high-tech will be okay, but high-tech was really bad during the year. So what is exactly happening there? And do you expect this to reverse in 1Q? Like when you say there's a freeze, etc., is it primarily in BFSI or do you think that will continue in high-tech as well?
I think, you know, if I look at BFSI has grown for the full year at 23%, and high-tech has high-tech M&E together has grown around 14.5%. So I think both the verticals have done well. And, you know, we just talked about onSemi, which is the deal that we have signed, which is in the high-tech. So essentially, there are more opportunities in high-tech. There are the activity is pretty strong. But all that we are saying is we will see a bit of lull in the Q1 purely because of the fact that some clients are going through some freeze where we know that we need to start this engagement, but we cannot. So it's a delayed start rather than anything else. And we are very hopeful that all these issues will get resolved in Q1. So we should be able to get onto the rhythm as far as Q2 is concerned. But otherwise, we are still very confident about overall situation with respect to the pipeline that we have in BFSI as well as high tech. Sudhir,
you wanted... will grow in 1Q, right? That's what you're looking at.
So I would say, don't look at us on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Look at it on a year-on-year basis. And that's what I think so what DC was alluding to. We have consistently grown. One quarter might be up for one vertical. One quarter might be not as good as whatever. So look
no,
at
sir, it. What I mean to ask is at the company level, we'll still expect you to grow in Q1, whatever is the number.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay, great. Thank you, sir. And all the best.
Thank you. The next question we will take from the line of Sudhir Gundupalli. Sudhir, can you please go ahead?
So my question is to Sudhir.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I was asking, standing out from the rest of the industry and despite going through the integration process, your deal booking on a sequential basis has been very good. So I was just trying to understand, is there any seasonality which helped you here? Because we don't really know the prior year Q3 to Q4 deal booking sort of trends. Is there any seasonality that helped you here? Or it is just that the closures, you have just seen closures to be very good despite the challenging macro, and that's what is resulting in the numbers.
Yeah, no, there's no seasonality. There's no seasonality here. But, you know, I think what we have is we do have renewals in this, which is actually a good sign, right? Which is means that, you know, client satisfaction is good and we're renewing these contracts, so which also gives us, you know, that stability of our you know, both from an order intake perspective as well as a future revenue growth perspective. So I think, you know, that's really reflected in both. And the deal wins are starting to show, especially as you see this quarter's, the Q4 order intake is where it reflects some large deal wins, like the onsemi deal that DC just spoke about.
Absolutely. And if you were to just look at the net new part within this and any broader color, even if you don't want to quantify them, how the trend has been from Q3 to Q4?
So actually, you know, we look at order intake, right? We are seeing good all-round order intake. You know, it's across verticals and it's across regions, which again, which is, you know, the broad-based growth comment that we made. The thing with the order intake is the only additional color I'll provide is that this is more in the, you know, efficiency space, the cost takeout space. And therefore, you know, these involve transitions and these will involve a slower ramp, you know, across the year, right? As you, you know, these kind of deals are usually take over from you know, either vendor consolidation or clients consolidating their own operations. So it does take a little bit of time to ramp up as well as, you know, make sure that, you know, the transitions complete first and then we start to build these clients. So that's the only difference in terms of the order in, or the additional color in terms of order.
Sure, Sudhir. And one last question to DC, if I may. So DC, we have always been guiding for, as individual entities, we have always been guiding for industry leading growth, but now our base has almost doubled. So there is some mathematical optics related to it. Despite that, it's impressive that you are still calling out for industry leading growth. And one more thing this time peculiar in FY24 about the industry is that there has been a huge divergence with some companies guiding for 3-6% growth all the way up to mid-teens. So when you talk about industry leading growth in that kind of a backdrop and with a much higher base, any further color on that? That's it.
Well, I think when I say industry leading, it is not, I mean, what we mean by that is in the industry leading quadrant. I mean, are we one of those companies which are, you know, showing the growth in that quadrant? And we are very confident that we want to stay there. And that's why I said that in spite of, you know, we may see a little bit of, you know, softness in Q1, but we are very confident that we should be able to get into a double digit growth. And we want to convert that double digit growth into industry leading as far as FY24 is concerned.
Thanks, DC. All the very best.
Thank you, Sudhir. Next, we will take the question from the line of Vibhor Singhal. Vibhor, can you please go ahead?
Hi. I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thanks for taking my question. And congrats on a very strong margin expansion. So, DC, my question was to maybe you and Sudhir. As already we've discussed, we've had a very strong deal flow in this quarter as compared to Q1Q at least. Now, one of the concerns that is paramount in the industry at this point of time is that while deals are being awarded, I mean, we ourselves won deal, had two large deals announced very recently. A lot of the competitors are also announcing large deals. So the concern that is there is that many of these deals are being awarded, but their execution timeline is not very certain. The client is not yet giving a certainty as to when to start execution on this deal. This might get delayed or let's say maybe, I mean, canceled, of course, is the worst case scenario. So are we also facing that in our deal flows that we are looking at, the deals that we have won? And is that what is adding to the uncertainty in FY24? And a related question is that we've always talked about size helping us win large deals. We've announced a couple of large deals in the past month or so. Any more color on that as to how the progress on that front is happening in terms of our increased size helping us win more large deals?
Too many questions, but let me try to answer. See, first of all, let me just give you a color of what is happening in the marketplace. If you look at large deals, many of the deals that we are pursuing right now are more efficiency play, which is, in other words, cost takeout. And many of these cost takeout deals, as Sudhir articulated, has a transition. And when you do the transition, you kind of ramp up the teams, and then the real billings takes a little bit of time to start. So, and what we are seeing right now is in certain situations, everything is decided, but, you know, the start date is a little delayed. And we are very hopeful that will ease up over a period of time. So that's the situation. It's a cost takeout deals, which is, in a way, it is good because these deals tend to be multi-year, and which is exactly what we are doing with onsemi. but it's more of a delayed start rather than anything else. So that's what the scenario is, which probably is very similar across the market, across the industries. And in terms of size, we are very confident that the size and scale and the capabilities that we have, it's not just the size, it's the capabilities that we have as an integrated organization is something that will help us in terms of getting a seat on the table. And whenever there's a large deal, we should be able to compete, you know, with any kind of situation. I think that's what we mean. We are already seeing some results, and we are very confident that as we go along, we will be seeing more of these scenarios. Sudhin, Chiste, do you want to add anything?
No, I think you've covered.
Sure. Just one small follow-up question to either Nachiket or Vineet, if I can. With the increased size and the workforce, the integrated workforce, do we expect the subcon expense to come down? I know it's not basically exceptionally high as compared to the industry for both the individual companies that we had. But do you think with the integrated workforce, we could see that coming down as a percentage of revenue over the next couple of years?
Well, as you indicated, it is already relatively low for us as compared to some of our peers. And we continue to remain focused on trying to reduce that. And some bit of bench availability will hopefully also help that. So that is a ongoing program for us. We're not targeting a particular percentage or a reduction, but we continue to look for opportunities where we can reduce.
Sure. Yeah, great to hear that. Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks a lot for taking my questions. And wish you all the best.
Thank you, Vibhor. We will take the next question from the line of Sulabh Govila. Sulabh, can you please go ahead?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for taking my question. So my first question is regarding the revenue growth this quarter. I'm just trying to understand, given that the furloughs have reversed, which were there last quarter, and there were no major cancellations and deferments that you mentioned earlier. So what's the reason for a sequential soft revenue growth this quarter? I mean, you mentioned there's some freeze in BFSI. But could you elaborate on nature of softness that we've seen in high-tech vertical? I mean, this is within which service lines within high-tech, and is that concentrated to few clients or it's more broad-based?
Yeah, so I think if you look at this quarter, right, you'll see that, the things that we talked about, the delayed decision-making is what, and, you know, the slower pace of some of these ramp-ups, as well as the freezes. That's the reason why, you know, there are some hiring freezes in place as clients are, you know, their own, as they're going through their own cycles, they have certain clients have some hiring freezes in place. So that's what's reflected in this quarter. And, you know, we've been focused on making sure that our order intake remains strong and that we, you know, our book of business across the board, right, including, you know, our existing book of business remains, you know, we have, it remains intact as well as we grow it with the new order intake. So that's been the focus. As these, you know, as the environment, the macro environment improves and we see clients start to, you know, release budgets, we will start to, you know, which we expect in the coming quarters, that's when we'll start to see some of that, the, you know, which is what gives us the confidence for the full year growth.
Sure. And with respect to high tech, any comments on the high tech vertical with respect to?
See, I think, you know, if you look at high tech, right, they're also going through a cycle of efficiency, as DC said. So we are focused on the deals activity that we are seeing in the high tech space. And frankly, we're seeing some good deal activity. So that's the nature. You know, I think, see, quarterly phenomena, you know, you'll have cyclical, you know, there'll be some ups and downs. But, you know, as DC said, you know, on a year-on-year basis, high tech grew 14.5%. We're seeing some good deal activity. So on a full year FY24 basis, we still think we'll have a, you know, there's good potential for us to grow high tech. It's a $1 billion-plus business for us, and we have really strong presence and strong capabilities. So we'll continue to leverage that.
Sure. And just a quick follow-up on the outlook. One is that this outlook that we provided for the full year, do you think that is going to be more broad-based across verticals, or it's specific to one vertical versus the other? Plus, on the 1Q softness that we talked about, is it going to be relative to 4Q performance or versus the historical 1Q trend that we've seen?
I think the, you know, as far as the first quarter performance is concerned, I think some of the behaviors that we have seen in terms of, as Sudhir articulated, some of the freeze and all these things, that is kind of continuing. And we are hoping that all these things will ease off by the end of Q1. So that's where, we feel that there could be some softness. And I think at this point of time, it is fair to assume that we are just talking with respect to the economic conditions that's existing in Q4 kind of extending into Q1.
I think this is just one build on it, that, we do have a license component that exists in Q4, which we will not have in Q1. So, what we are focused on is the like-for-like services growth in Q1.
Understood. Thanks for taking my question.
Okay, thank you, Surabh. Next question we will take from the line of Manik Taneja. Manik, can you please go ahead?
Thank you for the opportunity. I just had a question with regards to the way our headcount metrics have been trending. So through the course of last or in FY23, you were adding freshers across both the Heritage Mindtree and Heritage LTI organization. And this quarter, we've seen headcount decline. So how do you think about our delivery going into FY24, given the bench that we have? And if you could also talk about any plans for fresh additions for the next year?
So, Manik, as I said, I think we had paused our fresher intake in Q3 and Q4, as well as reduced our lateral hiring in those two quarters as we were consolidating bench from both the organizations and getting better visibility into the skill sets that are available as a consolidated company, which we have done over this quarters. So, as I said, previously, we are now going back to our usual campus onboarding plan. So going into FY24, we will continue our FY24 onboarding plan as earlier set out. We typically onboard most of our freshers in the first three quarters of the year, and that's what would be our plan in FY24 as well.
Sure. And well, last question for Vineet. I was just looking at your segment profitability. If you could help us understand what drove the sequential increase in terms of our margins on the manufacturing resources side and simultaneously the increase on the health, life sciences and public services side.
No, I think so. It's there's no specific, seasonality or anything or a change in the trend. It's as the new people get added, the average cost keeps on moving. Sometimes the on-site offshore ratio changes. Also sort of changes the overall margins, but no structural changes into any of these profiles.
Thank you.
Thank you, Manik. We will take the last question from the line of Surendra Goyal.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So just a couple of questions. Good evening, everyone. Firstly, what is the services growth in 4Q? Because if I heard it correct, Sudhir did allude to some license component as well.
So we don't call that number out specifically.
Okay. Okay, sure. And secondly, Sudhir, a question for you. The pipeline has been consistently strong. And you guys have obviously done a terrific job there. But even the recent slowdown was not preceded by any slowdown in the pipeline. So what gives you comfort that the growth beyond 1Q will be strong to enable you to get to double-digit growth? Is it more hope that things improve? Or is it based on any data points that we should be aware of?
See, I think, as you said, right, there are three reasons why we feel that, So we've got, pipeline is up, large deal pipeline is up, conversions are up, order intake is up. And I think what's holding us back is, as I said, the, delayed decision-making and some of the freezes. That's really what we're seeing. So we are expecting some of the hiring freezes as clients, it's actually a reflection of how they want to manage their calendar year 23 budget. We expect that to start to ease off by, towards the end of May, of this quarter rather. And the reason is that, clients still have a book of business to do. We've got, we've been very close to our clients. We've been meeting them and there is work to do, except that budgets are being, right now held back, but we expect that to come back. And then, you know, obviously our deal ramp ups that we expect to see, you know, ramping up from Q2 onwards as part of this. And, you know, because we are currently starting these transitions, right? We've announced two publicly, as you know, there's Onsemi and Currys that we've announced publicly. In addition to these, there are several other deals that we have won. And that's, you know, why we feel that, you know, we will start to see this pick up from Q2 onwards. As you've seen, traditionally, Q2, Q3 have been our stronger quarters, and that's what we are focused on.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Surendra. We'll just take one question from the Q&A bridge that we have got. Nitin Padmanabhan from Investec has asked, what's the wage hike? When is the wage hike expected?
So we are planning to do the wage hike in the second quarter of the financial year. And it's expected to be, obviously, as per the market, what the market demands. But if I want to just call it out from a year-on-year perspective, it will be on percentage terms significantly lower than what was in the past 2 years.
Well, thank you all for joining this call. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.